Good morning, everyone. I believe that this is a wonderful day to declare that the kingdom of God is alive and well. It's not in a physical world sense, but it's internal. And if we neglect to see that, then we start looking to others, such as politicians and the world, to solve our problems, when our biggest problem is internal. I've heard someone say, my greatest enemy is underneath my hat. And I believe that our greatest struggles in life is when we fail to see the kingdom of God in us. You know, we're about to come up to an inauguration, and we don't know who's going to be the president. But I will declare that the kingdom of this world is not the happiness of this world is not predicated on who's the president. And I believe that one of the things that we will witness here when someone comes as a pastor or whatever and says a prayer, that the Lord's prayer that we often quote will be misquoted. When it says in Matthew 6:10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth." And everyone you see when you hear this inauguration probably going to say on earth. Our old nature desires to have a physical kingdom. We desire to be controlling of other people. And that is wrong. The Lord in John 18:36 said, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Then I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." I believe that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, came to pay a legal price for those that were chosen before the foundations of the world. But after he was resurrected and stayed here for 40 days, he said he went to heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Father. To do what? To rule. We have had a king on this earth in our hearts for 2,000 years. But the whole world of religion rejects that. And they want to say, no, we got to build a better government, a better system to keep people under control. Because after all, they are proposing that the kingdom is on earth and not in us. And so we fight amongst ourselves. We have different religions saying, you got to do this to be saved. You got to act this way or whatever in order to have blessings from God. And that's what makes it wrong, is that we're doing to get. I've often heard that the best life is to live because of what you are, not to get something. And love is of God. The goodness of God is good, it says. And I believe that we need to take a look at that kingdom. Every day we need to pray that thy kingdom be done in us, which means being kind to others, which means having hope, which means having love for others and not condemning others, and to have a life where we are above the politics of the day, because we have happiness inside. We have been blessed inside. It says in the Bible in Timothy that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Well, then what is the truth? Well, I mean, we have so many different versions out there of what the truth is. And everybody is divided up into different camps saying, I have the truth. And what I believe more than anything is that God's truth answers the truest things that we need of inside, is that he's in us and that he's in people all over this world, and that he can save a little baby at one cell big. I mean, that's pretty good ruling, I think. that I don't have to be 12 years old and have the age of accountability and realize something before I say a sinner's prayer. No. God comes to us first. When we are dead in trespasses and sins, we don't even want Him.
That's right.
Well, how in the world can He do that? Because He knew us before the world began.
That's right.
He wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. And He came and He died for His people. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which is another picture of the Son of Man. God Himself became human, was made human flesh, and lived as we do on this earth, was tempted as we are, but never sinned. Then, at 12, the sixth hour on the Day of Atonement, He was made what we are. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He suffered in our room instead and was made what we are. And then it talks about how Him in that state of being could not deliver Himself. So it's amazing to me if we say that we can deliver ourselves from our darkness, but Jesus Christ can't. It doesn't make sense. Jesus was made to be what we are, which means we're dead to God. Dead in trespasses and sins. Therefore, we can't do anything to change our situation. But when we are blessed of God to be born again, which happens at His choosing, could be at one cell big. John the leaped for joy in his mother's womb, which means he had the fruit of the Spirit in his mother's womb before he was even out of the womb. And the Lord said that Jeremiah, he knew Jeremiah. God knows us. He knows His children. There are children of God in every religion, Buddhism, Hinduism. I mean, there's no, we don't have a corner on who is going to be in, with God one day. God, I have talked with people by flying for, in my previous job now that I'm retired from, who were missionaries to cannibals and lived amongst cannibals. And there were stories that were told. This man in particular was a co-pilot I flew with one day. And he told me how his mom and dad were Bible translators and went to an Indonesian tribe that were cannibals. And there was a man who was the tribal leader. And they ate people. He had a head of a man in a bag. And he was swinging a machete. And this whole family could have been destroyed. But God protected them. That man later became a Delta Airlines pilot, and I had the privilege of flying with him. But he related to me a story about some of the things that tribe believed. God was there and put His love in some of those people. And the husband and wife team that helped translate the Bible, that man that was the tribal leader one day was born again. Not because of what he did, because he was condemned. He was a cannibal. And then when they had translated the Word of God, he put the Word of God in a bag. And he proclaimed that the God of these people is the God. So God can go anywhere. His kingdom is unshakable. And He rules and reigns. And He knows His children. So we need to seek the kingdom inside and not outside. Because if we seek outside, we're going to be frustrated and confused and full of fear. But if we seek that kingdom inside and we proclaim that the Lord is ruling and reigning, He has made our tabernacle of clay the place of worship. For what reason? To glorify Him as being the Savior and the one who has done the calling and the one who has saved. And He will do it. He is 100% effective in saving all His brethren.
Hallelujah.
all his children. And I'm so glad for that. I want to read in closing Hebrews 12, 18 through 29. And it talks about an unshakable kingdom. In Hebrews 12, 18 through 29, it says, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice that shook the earth, but now he promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken, and of things that are made, then those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." I'm so thankful that our Lord, He has saved His people. Even in the Old Testament, there's no difference the way God saved Adam or you and I. The Spirit of God called us forth from death and life, from death, and born us again. And He has placed us in a kingdom, and we see that kingdom in the church, which is the pillar and ground of the truth, and we praise Him for what He is presently doing. And that, I'll tell you, I really believe, and I don't know when this is going to be, but there is one person that's the last person written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because the Book of Life is a finite book. It has a finite number of children in it, from Adam to wherever that last person is born again. When that person's born again, our Lord is shortly coming back. So I don't know when that is going to be, because I don't know how big the book is. But in the Old Testament, we're taught that the Ark of the Covenant had dimensions, and it had a lid on top that was the same dimension as the box. And that shows that there are no, it didn't go over the edge of the Ark of the Covenant. In other words, the box that is represented there is Jesus Christ, and it contains all His children. And then it talks about the lid not having a dimension, which I believe shows His mercy and His love, how infinite it is. So we can praise God that He has a kingdom today, and that, like it says, a kingdom which cannot be moved. And we can praise God today in the church, the pillar and ground of the truth, that He is 100% sure. He has made, He will do exactly what He, or He will save exactly those that He came for, which is a big number, huge number, very big. And we will be one. There won't be races, there won't be classes of people in heaven when we go there. We'll all be equal. We will be His brethren then, and we are now, with the Son of Man, who has made us joint heirs with Him. So we will own what our brother, Jesus Christ, owns. And I'm so thankful for that. May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Jesus, the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. We thank you so much for your great love. We thank you for what you have done for your children. Lord, we don't know where your children are. We can't take a microscope and see things inside because this is an earthly vessel, and we can't see with our physical eyes the spiritual person that you put inside. But we can see evidence through the love that we show for each other, and we can see the things that you have put in us that we wouldn't have chosen. And we thank you, Father, that one of those things is the fruit of the Spirit, and that faith, Father, is something that you put in us so that we could reflect back our love for you. We thank you for first loving us, for choosing us, for dying for us. And we thank you for taking our damnation for 3 hours, that the lake of fire came to you in that 3 hours on the tree from the sixth hour through the ninth hour. And that God the Father raised you, Jesus, from that dead state of being to be resurrected. And then 3 days later, you were resurrected bodily. So we thank you, Father, that you have saved us eternally, and that our bodies one day will be resurrected at your second coming. We thank you for your kingdom that you have in us, and we need, Father, so much to seek internally that which you have provided for us and put in us. We love you. We ask for this country, Father, to reflect those things that are good, Father. I'd ask that you keep your hand on this country during this turbulent time. And, Father, we're not seeking that kingdom. We're seeking your kingdom and your fulfillment of your truth and righteousness. And, Father, we will be in our soul praising your name that you have done all things well internally and that your kingdom is in us. And we thank you for that. We ask that blessings on the sick, Father, and those that can't be with us, and we ask that you would provide them a measure of grace, Father, that they need, and we ask that you would be with Brother Marty as he comes forth to minister thy word, and that the Spirit of God will be with him as he speaks, and that he will share those things that we need to know about this kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.